When the music fades, all is stripped away, and I simply come, longing just to bring something that's of worth, that will bless your heart.
Hi, this is Chaplains Timothy Burdick
and Stephanie Burdick,
and we'd like to welcome you to the Visions of Love podcast, reaching out to the spiritually and physically blind throughout the world.
Hello, folks, and welcome to our podcast. In today's episode, we're featuring an interview with Joe Jones from the organization Jacob's Hope, which operates out of Arizona. And she has some very moving stories to tell, so we hope you will enjoy our show. Thank you.
It's all about you, Jesus. I'm sorry, Lord, for the thing I've made. When it's all about you, it's all about you.
Thank you.
To contact us, all you need to do is go to mynvm.com.
NVM is an acronym for New Vision Ministries.
If you want to contact us, there's a contact form on the website. Or if you don't know Christ or need prayer, please call 507-369-6861. Thank you.
And now for part one of our interview with Joe Jones with Jacob's Hope.
Well, thank you everyone for joining us. We have somebody special today with Jacob's Hope. And I'm going to let our guests introduce ourselves and tell us a little bit about what we're talking about.
Good morning. This is Joe Jones, and I want to thank you for having me today. I am the co-founder of Jacob's Hope, which is a clinic in Mesa, the Brown and Country Club. And we provide immediate short-term medical care between the hospital and home for medically compromised newborns. And those newborns have been exposed to illicit drugs prenatally. So we have a 24/7 medical staff. We have six nurseries. We are licensed through the Arizona Department of Health Services to take care of up to 12 babies. We teach therapeutic techniques, we take care of the babies, help them with their medical needs. They are usually born exposed to some heavy drugs, and so then they are on a medical protocol, usually a morphine that they are weaned down off of, and then we work with kinship, foster, or birth family to teach them how to take care of these little fragile babies.
Okay, well, first of all, if we just dive into this, I guess my question would be, how do you get the babies? How are they
Well, that's an interesting question. We opened in 2019, and I can give you a little history of the babies we had. And then, of course, we had to close in March of 2020 because of COVID, because the majority of our nurses employed with us also were employed with hospitals. They didn't know what COVID would look like, so they didn't want to bring it to the babies. So originally, our babies came from either hospitals that would work with us, because we're a step down. So if a baby born with NAS, they go into the NICU, but they're not critically ill babies like a baby with heart or lung issues. So the nurses, the doctors, they need those beds in a NICU for the critically ill. We're a nice step down facility where we can take care of those babies. So if a hospital's full, they can send them to us. One of the other methods we receive babies, which actually makes perfect sense, is there are, they call them MAT treatment programs or MAT programs. And those are for the mothers that are addicted to heroin or meth or now fentanyl, and they want to get clean. So they join a program that is methadone-based or Suboxone, and they have counselors that walk them through everything with their pregnancy and their drug addiction. And then those mothers can choose to have their babies placed with us when they give birth.
Now, I was reading on your website. I was interested. Can you take us through some of the steps that you go through that maybe the hospital goes through first and the doctors to determine about this, and then the steps that you go through?
Well, we have a medical director. We have a behavioral health director. When the baby is identified as being substance exposed at birth at a hospital, the doctors would put the baby in the NICU. I mean, that would be the primary thing. And then after that, our directors would get involved with mom and the hospital social workers and make a plan for the baby to have the baby moved to us for the care. One of the models that we use is we have 24/7 nurses that just, this is a gift to them. And instead of a baby being on rotation and just checked every once in a while, and if they can't get their nutrition being put on a G-tube, we have a motto at Jacob's Hope that says, they cry, we care. So they have a need with us. The nurses are there picking them up and loving on them. I'm not sure that answers your question on how directly they get to us. It's a little complicated because then, of course, you frequently have department DES, CPS involved, and then that throws a whole nother issue into the whole mix.
Sure, sure. What are the steps some of the steps you take when they do get to you?
Okay, so the baby's brought to us and evaluated by we have a neonatologist that is our medical director. So the baby's evaluated to see where they're at as far as the drugs in their system. Do they need to be on a medical protocol, or do they do they need loving attention and care? These babies are not like your typical babies that you're used to. There are different techniques for holding them and feeding them and swaddling them to give them comfort. So a plan is made for what that would look like for each individual baby, because each individual baby, they exhibit different withdrawal symptoms per different drugs. So then they have to have a little plan made for them.
What are some of those?
So the symptoms, and they do vary. The most common are just a horrific cry that is definitely identifiable as an NAS baby. It's not crying like your typical baby. It's very sharp and it's very long, and you just have to hold these babies and love them through it. I have a nurse that has a recording of it, and she plays it when we do presentations, and it's just chilling. So some babies have to scream. Some babies are stiff and you have to work with their little limbs to limber them. Some babies tremor. So there's different manifestations that we look for.
Now, you said on your website that sometimes they have seizures. Would that be the same thing as tremors?
No, seizures would be different. Tremors are just the constant movement.
So what do you do to stop those or to, you know, deal with the different issues that come up?
Well, there are different techniques. We have 7 or 12 posted in each nursery. You know, you try one. If that doesn't work with the baby, you try the next one. They have different holding techniques, like the C position, where the legs are pulled up and you're patting them on their little rump, or you have a tight swaddle, or you have a loose swaddling. You just find what fits the baby. Also, there is the medical part with the morphine, and the morphine will, as they're being weaned down, the morphine can help with some of these symptoms. Well, it does help with some of these symptoms.
Uh-huh. Do you see this on the rise, or?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. There's, the records show, and they're old statistics, but about 8,000 newborns in Arizona are born with prenatal drug or alcohol exposure every year. So there's a huge need to help these babies. And if I can kind of go off a little bit, one of the things that I have seen, I was on the foster care review board for 16 years for the Supreme Court in Arizona, and I was a foster mom. These babies are sometimes just taken directly from a NICU and put in a foster care situation with foster parents that don't know how to take care of a drug-exposed newborn. We can work with those families. Our nurse, director of nursing, Cammie, went down in Tucson a couple weeks ago and worked with a foster family for 2 hours, teaching them techniques because they were so frustrated they didn't know how to take care of this baby. So she worked with that, and that baby now is thriving, and the foster parents are more at ease and getting the rest that they need. So that's huge. And that's my passion, is seeing these babies. Our son, Jake, was born exposed to crystal meth 33 years ago. And 33 years ago, people didn't know what to do. The pediatrician told us if he hit his milestones, he'd be fine. We gave him Mylocon because we thought he had an upset stomach. We tried different things. We didn't know he was going through drug withdrawal. Well, the symptoms of the drugs that his biological mother used as withdrawing from that. And so about 7 years ago, we lost our son, who is Jacob, of Jacob's Hope. And I read a book about a clinic that had opened in Washington 30 years ago. It's Pediatric Interim Care Center in Kent, Washington. And I read a book about what this woman did with these drug-exposed newborns. And I thought, why aren't we doing that in Arizona? We need that in Arizona. And so I went to Washington, toured her clinic, came back to Arizona, and it took 6 years to get us open. So I have a passion for that, because these babies, if they're put into foster care and an inexperienced foster family has them, they will go from placement to placement to placement out of frustration, which is not good for them. Or I talked to one lady several years ago, they became foster parents, they took in this newborn, they wanted to make a difference. This baby was impossible for them to handle. They didn't know how to handle. They called DCS, said, come pick up this baby, and they closed their license. They never fostered again. That's tragic. We can help prevent that.
Is that something that you still do, say, if a foster family gets a baby, you know, through the system or whatever, that, you know, is drug-induced and they don't know it?
We'd be happy to work with them. All they have to
do...
Oh, absolutely. We would, you know, send one of our nurses and say, here's some techniques, try this, this, or this, and it will make a difference. We'd be happy to do that. Before we closed last time, our nurses were giving presentations on the different things at different foster cares, not companies, but organizations like Arizona Helping Hands. They would go and they would do a presentation to foster families saying, this is what you look for. These are some suggestions on how we can help these babies through this time.
Now, is the profile of Jacob's Hope raising in the community, or more people, you know, finding out about you so that they can get help?
I would like to think so. We were really making great strides before COVID shut us down. So we're actually in the process of meeting again with all those entities. New Hope Behavioral Health is a MAP program for moms. We have one of our nurses going there twice a month and giving classes to these moms. We have reached out to DCS innumerable times. We've reached out to the hospitals. We are licensed and accredited with each access provider, so we've reached out to all the insurance companies to let them know, hey, we're back and we're ready to take some babies.
So the question that this brought up in my mind was, say you have a mom who's on the street. She's been doing heroin or whatever, and she is going to have her baby or something tragically behind a dumpster or whatever, because she doesn't have any money or anything like that, and so she can't go to a hospital, or she doesn't have a primary care physician. What happens in that case?
And that's a lot of that, I believe, is fear induced. They can go to any hospital and access would cover their expenses, so they don't need to worry about that. But I think what concerns them, or I know what concerns them, is that once they give birth to that baby in the hospital, DCS will become involved and they'll lose their baby. So that's a huge concern to that population, which is why we try to get to these women and encourage them to get into a MAP program so that they have a counselor, they have a caseworker, they're getting treatment. I actually have never heard of a case like that happening. Usually they wind up in the hospital.
So what would happen if a person didn't have any kind of coverage?
Access would cover them. They cover the homeless.
Even if they're not on that. Oh, I didn't realize that.
Yes. For instance, I can give you an example. We had a call for a baby 3 weeks ago, just the saddest story. Mom was using drugs, and her sister took her to the hospital because she knew she was in labor. Took her into the hospital that morning. She had used fentanyl, meth, and she also had THC, which is marijuana, in her system. She gave birth to a premature little baby girl with health issues, and the sister called us, wanted to place the baby with us, but unfortunately mom, because of her addictions, left the hospital against medical advice, didn't name the baby, walked away, and is back on the streets, and this baby is in a NICU with bright lights and alarms going off and thinly stretched nurses taking care of critically ill babies. And that baby should be with us, and she is not. We need the public to get involved and make their voices known that this is not acceptable.
That concludes part one of this interview. We hope that you're enjoying it, and please stay tuned for part two of this interview in 2 weeks. Thank you.
Thank you.
I hope you've enjoyed this, and we'll see you in a couple of weeks. God bless.
Thank you, and God bless you.